Chapter 10. The Beacon Hills locker room really shouldn't have been any different from any other locker room in California. It looked like all the others, and Styles could only assume it smelled pretty much the same as all the others. But the Beacon Hills locker room just had that extra layer of insanity that Styles couldn't make himself even imagine any other locker room having. He would definitely be lying if there weren't times that he envied those crazy, i.e. Finstock, free locker rooms. A guy should be able to be sweaty and half-naked around his classmates without having to listen to the coach speak from personal experience about the warning signs of testicular torsion, or how a professional dominatrix is not the same thing as a hooker, or why a man should never be ashamed to be photographed dressed as Sailor Moon, or unicorns. How many of you have seen one? Put your hand down, Greenberg. We all know you're lying. None of you have seen unicorns because you're all horny bastards. And because they don't exist. Or do they? And the point is that on the lacrosse field, you need to be a cryptozoologist, always searching for that perfect unicorn. And by unicorn, I mean scoring opportunity. And not the type of scoring that keeps you from seeing unicorns. You need to... Psst. Hey, Styles. You haven't said what you're doing for your birthday tomorrow. Do you want to go bowling like we usually do? Scott whispers in Styles' ear, mercifully dragging his attention away from Finstock's latest inspirational something. I figured if you still wanted, we could do that another time. Derek's taking me to a concert, Styles whispered back as Coach started in on a mangled metaphor about horns and how they related to offense. Oh, okay. So you and Derek are really real? No. Allison has just been trying to talk me into inviting him on a double date with the two of you because she has a warped sense of humor. Which, to be fair, I think she does. She does not. The most surefire way to make her laugh is for you to fall down. Not saying there's anything wrong with that, but you should really be aware. Eyes wide open, dude. I did think she was joking about going double, Scott mused. Nope, when she was asking about that, she was terrifyingly serious, trying to plan out coordinating outfits in her head, Styles said, as Coach switched to talking about the unicorn's hooves, and how it was not the same thing as regular horses' hooves. Shut it, Greenberg. Besides, how could you doubt that Derek and I are? Do you miss the hickeys he insists on giving me? Because my dad sure didn't miss them. I'd almost feel bad about Derek having to face Dad at work, except he totally deserves some of the awkward I come home to every day. Yeah, been meaning to congratulate you on that, Styles. Nice work, Danny said, sidling up to Styles' other side. I honestly did not expect you to ever actually go for it. Well, it was sort of a mutual going for it, kinda, in stages. Styles, however you did it, you got the guy that whenever the school has a public safety or drugs assembly involving the sheriff's office, every single hetero girl or gay guy spends the entire time trying to figure out scenarios that would get him to take off his shirt. So whatever you did, all that matters is you did it. Did you try to plot ways for Derek to take his shirt off for you? Of course I did. And some of them might even have worked if I actually tried them. But don't worry, poaching other people's boyfriends isn't my thing. Why would it be? You wouldn't need to because everyone loves you, Danny. Scott said earnestly, earning him an amused smile from Danny as Finstock, who still had miraculously not run out of parts of the unicorn to discuss, had now moved on to talking about the unicorn's flowing mane and how it represented strong fundamentals. Scott, this is why, even though you're dating Allison, half the people you talk to think you're hitting on them, Styles sighed. Really? Scott asked, looking to Danny for confirmation. Don't worry, I find it flattering, Danny said. Hey, Danny, as you are so kind and benevolent, Styles began, getting a raised eyebrow in return. I was actually wondering if you could give me some pointers for possessing matching sets south of the equator fun times, because I don't have what one would call hands-on experience with anyone other than, myself, and any and all advice would be appreciated and utilized for the betterment of mankind. Or at least my sex life. I don't want to hear this, Scott groaned quietly. I had to hear you talk in excruciating detail, I might add, about your and Allison's oh-so-tender lovemaking multiple times, you can listen to this. How about I don't want to listen to this? Jackson chimed in, making Styles startle. Definitely startle, not flail, not even a little. No one asked you, and where did you even come from? Styles asked with a glare. I saw you bothering Danny and I came to rescue him. My knight in shining armor, Danny said with a roll of his eyes. Hey, what are you boys yapping about back there while I try and impart my hard-earned wisdom to you? Just the fleeting nature of unicorns, coach. And how soon it's going to be even harder for Stilinski to find one, drawled Jackson. Which is why you need to focus on the unicorn's tail, which is teamwork, where everything comes together, Finstock said with gusto, as all four boys had a moment of solidarity in deeply regretting their choice to join the lacrosse team. Birthday breakfast with his dad was always the best. It felt right that his birthday was actually on a Saturday this year, but no matter what day of the week his birthday actually fell on, they would always have the breakfast on the closest Saturday after the actual day. So Styles didn't have to worry about school, and whatever the situation was at work, his dad would always take the day off. They would go out to the Pancake House about 10 miles north of town as soon as it opened at 7:30 and order everything. Tradition dictated that it was the one day of the year that Styles would not scrutinize every scrap of food that his dad put on his plate, something that John couldn't even get a pass on during his birthday breakfast. There was some leeway then, yes, but should he even try to reach for a second helping of bacon, Styles would confiscate it for him, eyes brimming with admonishment as his cheeks puffed out with pork products. But this was Styles' birthday, and he was nothing if not magnanimous with his birthday boy powers. So magnanimous that between the two of them, they ordered and finished off buttermilk pancakes, strawberry pancakes, sweet potato batter pancakes, French toast, biscuits and gravy, hash browns, turkey sausage, pork sausage, bacon, fruit salad, and to drink, orange juice, buttermilk, hot chocolate, and coffee. That's why they had to make sure to get there early. It just wasn't a birthday breakfast if they finished eating in less than 2 hours and didn't completely succumb to the food coma once they got home. If there was any hope for Styles to even move for the rest of his birthday, he needed at least a couple of hours to sleep it off before anyone expected him to be anything other than a receptacle for morning deliciousness. Styles began to stir a bit from his traditional post-breakfast snooze around 2-ish. He was pretty sure he could still smell the maple syrup. He didn't think he had spilled any on his clothes. It had probably permeated his very essence and would always be a part of him now. If it had, he hoped Derek would like it. But seeing as Derek at times already seemed to exist solely to get his mouth all over Styles, though so far unfortunately in no more than a PG-13 manner, if Styles got any more delicious, Derek's tongue would probably never leave his skin. Styles recognized his fuzzy sleep-slash-food-coma-thought process for what it was, and was very glad his dad had decided to conk out on the couch downstairs. He was pretty sure that monologue had stayed internal, but he had been wrong before. He groggily forced himself out of bed long enough to use the toilet and brush his teeth before lumbering back to bed and socking out for another 2 hours, gradually drifting back to reality after a dream where Jackson had become the Geico gecko and kept on trying to sell him car insurance. But Derek kept on stealing the paperwork to make origami animals for Styles and floating them in his stream, before finally waking up proper when he felt the bed shift as someone sat down near the foot of it. He pried his eyes open completely to see his father sitting on the side, tilted forward with his elbows on his knees, his face turned to face Styles. Styles sat up, studied his father, and then fell back down to his pillow with a groan. Not the sex talk. We've already had the so your body is changing and you're getting urges, and the so you may be into penises one. I don't quite remember that being the way I phrased it. Do we really need to have the Derek-specific sex talk? I mean, is it really, really necessary? I mean, I know all the basic stuff already, and any other details needed I got from the locker room and the internet. Styles. Styles bolted back up to a sitting position and pointed at his dad. If anything, I should get a free pass on the talk because we were all good and law-abiding. being an exemplary model for all other law enforcement kids dating their dad's employees, and waiting so that said dad would never have the temptation, obligation, let alone reason, to arrest said employee. I never wanted to be a role model for those hypothetical kids, Dad. Are you finished? For now. Are you sure? Nothing else you want to let out? I'm sure, but I reserve the right to revisit at a later time. Okay, then, his dad said with a smile. He straightened out and angled himself so he was facing Styles more, rather than his desk. I'm not exactly here to give you another sex talk. When you say exactly, I know you know to be safe, and that just because you don't have to worry about certain issues like a girl would have to, both physically and socially, you're not treating it lightly. I know you're with someone who genuinely cares about you. So what is... I wanted to thank you, the both of you, but saying this to Derek is just a step too far, for respecting my wishes, for not putting me into a nebulous situation as far as legality, and for letting me pretend I still have some influence over your life. As he spoke, he turned away from Styles, going back to his original position of facing the wall. Dad? Styles pushed himself up more and scooted till he was right next to his father and mirrored his pose, feet on the floor, facing the desk. You know that me actually doing what you tell me has always been an iffy proposition. That's a generous way of describing it. But you know I'll always listen. And come on, think of how it might have turned out if someone who wasn't as upstanding as you had been my dad. We're talking delinquent city here. I mean, I know I could be an awesome graffiti tagger if I really applied myself, but I never would, because of you. So I managed to prevent a one-man crime wave just by being your dad? His dad asked, bumping his shoulder with Styles. Really? They should give you a medal, said Styles, bumping back. His dad reached his arm around and pulled him into a shoulder hug. Honestly, I think I deserve one. With that, he momentarily tightened his grip on Styles and then got up to leave the room. As he was about to reach the door, Styles spoke up. Hey, just curious. Would you have given me the whole, not sex, but I know you'll be responsible, he cares for you, speech if I had been your daughter instead of your son? His dad paused and leaned on the doorframe, tilting his head up in thought. You know, the urge to lock you up in some far-off tower would probably come over me at some point, but I honestly hope I would give you the same speech. Though I probably would have roped Melissa McCall into giving you the other sex talks. Yeah, you had enough trouble getting through, there will be hair where there wasn't hair before, and start feeling new feelings in your nethers without having to deal with menstruation, Styles mused. Styles smiled when he got the reaction he was looking for, as his dad groaned and raised one hand to massage his temples. Have a good time at the concert tonight. I'm probably going to sleep early, so be quiet whenever you come in, his father said as he walked out of Styles' room. Styles swung his feet back onto the bed and laid back on his pillow with his hands behind his head. That had simultaneously been one of the most awkward and most heartfelt conversations he had ever had with his father. He still felt more awkward now, but Styles knew that with the passage of time, it would take on a rosy warm glow and erase most of the emotional discomfort that occurred. At least until one of them dragged it up to embarrass the other at some later date. Styles knew his family dynamic well enough to know that all that would happen at some point, even odds on who would be pulling it out to embarrass who. But for right now, he had other things to think about. Like the advice he had finally gotten from Danny after school, while Scott waited in the passenger side of the Jeep, peering out the window at them as they talked, looking for all the world like a kid who had just realized that his parents did indeed have sex. Like how he planned to put that advice to good use as soon as possible. Like how he did intend to have a hell of a good time at the concert. And hopefully, an even better one afterwards.